Tim Dooner, and this is Great Waves Insiders. Step inside the tribe as our market experts share their boots-on-the-ground experience from the front lines of freight tech's emergence. Thank you for joining us on Freight Waves Insiders. Today, we are stepping inside the world of Lydia Yan, president and CEO of Next Trucking and one of the most influential women in supply chain. Lydia, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Lydia, for people who may not be familiar, what is Next Trucking?
Next is the first trucker-centric marketplace where we connect shippers with small trucking companies. The company is 4 years old, and we grew 100% year over year. We raised over $120 million from investors like Sequoia Capital, Brookfield, and GLP.
What does it mean to be the CEO at a company like Next in 2019?
Well, it's a very exciting time to be the CEO and co-founder of Next Trucking because we're digitizing the process of freight brokerage with focus on port drayage. So we put all the necessary data in one place to create transparency for shippers and carriers, and then we eliminate back and forth negotiations between carriers and traditional brokers.
Lydia, it's time to take a step back in time. Be honest, when you were 16 scouting colleges, did you think that you would be the CEO of a digital freight brokerage trucking company?
Well, for sure not. Like a lot of girls, I like fashion, entertainment, pretty fancy stuff. So I went to USC Annenberg and I got a master's degree in communication management. And I worked at ad agencies, PR agencies for a few years before I developed my interest in digital marketing and then launched my first fashion e-commerce website. So trucking was never my gig, even though I spent years observing my husband's 3PL company. And I've had a front row seat into what the industry looks like behind the scenes. So what really triggered me to get into trucking industry is really one event. Like a drug driver from a multi-billion-dollar trucking company came to our warehouse to pick up a load. And all he had was a piece of scrap paper with a load number jotted down from a phone call. So it took our warehouse literally 3 hours to search every square inch of the facility to come to the conclusion that the load is not there because the load number that we got from the driver was wrong. So it's a huge waste of time, resources for both trucking companies and warehouse workers. So that's why we were thinking, we should build something to streamline the process to better connect shippers with the carriers.
Your story isn't that different from a former FreightWaves Insider guest, Zee Schreiber, CEO of Freightos. He worked for GE and he started his digital freight brokerage for ocean bookings because of the inefficiencies he was seeing while processing orders.
You're right. I think, with digitalizing like of every single industry, like trucking is definitely still in the legacy stage and we have a lot to catch up.
So you mentioned it. You have this really strong background in digital marketing, PR, mobile, social media applications. You spent much of the past decade kind of focusing on that line of business, and you were the CEO. So did you learn any valuable lessons during that time? Do you have any good stories from being a founder at the very start of your career or near the start of your career?
Well, I think I work at an e-commerce company, and I also had my own e-commerce company. So I think it was quite an experience having myself involved in driving sales through marketing and PR. At Newegg, I was managing about $20 million budget, and I was able to keep the cost of sales under 1%. So the most important thing that I learned during this time was the importance of making every dollar work for the business. And data is super important. And also, it's the indication that is responsible for nearly every decision a business makes.
You're now the president and CEO of Next Trucking. How did you end up where you are today?
Well, my family has been in logistics in the past decade. And I talk about, what triggered me to start Next Trucking is really the inefficiency. And obviously, originally, I kept my distance from the logistic industry because it was overwhelmingly cumbersome, and I learned by observing my family's logistics business over years. And I was more interested in like fast growing industries like e-commerce, like PR and marketing, and how we can effectively use modern technologies to influence the industry. So, but I think it's time for us to really revolutionize this legacy industry. It's very different from 10 years ago, while e-commerce was growing and everybody put more focus on e-commerce. And now it's getting more transparent and the average vendor's margin got pressed a lot. So it really triggers the vendors to look into being more efficient with logistics. Then all of a sudden, everybody realized logistics is a $1 trillion industry and it was overlooked in the past centuries. That's also the reason why I'm very grateful that everyone is working in to make this industry better and to empower the truck drivers and to really revolutionize the entire industry, which is a $1 trillion industry.
So when you were dealing with e-commerce, I mean, that happened pretty rapidly, right? Customers on the front-facing side, that was digitized really good. There's a lot of focus there, as you mentioned. Did you think it would naturally follow that the warehouse end of it and the trucking end of it would be digitized? And then you were just surprised at how long that was taking?
Well, think about it. Like 10 years ago, average vendor's margin was very thick, right? Because trading or e-commerce was not that big yet. So vendors had more margins, but because of the growth of e-commerce, trading became so transparent and the margins of an average vendor got pressed dramatically. So all of a sudden, the logistics cost become really, really dramatically high for average vendors. For most of vendors, about 10% of their margin. So now all of a sudden, people realize the importance of logistics. While in the past, because it's a fraction of the margin, so people didn't really pay a lot of attention to it. So we're pretty happy that nowadays modern technologies are being injected in our industry and people are really looking into the industry and found the inefficiencies. So we will continue to see more companies to develop softwares and modern technology to empower our logistics supply chain.
Next Trucking, it's been around for over 4 years now, right? You've had some time to form the DNA and define it, but how has it changed from when you first started it or in that first year when you're just a nascent company to where you are now? What would you say the biggest difference is?
Well, 4 years ago, we started out with not much more than a vision and how we wanted to make it easier for truckers to do their jobs and become more efficient and make more money. And we were working in my house and then we worked on the folding tables and a small office. But I think it was really our mission and vision that kept us going because it's not simply a mobile app for us. It's really changing people's life. I remember we had a driver because we do a lot of driver surveys, and we had one driver who was a small business owner, and he went bankrupted and his company, and he and his wife were living on the street for a long time until he saved a little bit of money to buy his first truck. And then he was still very inefficient and he couldn't really make a living out of his own truck. He joined us last year and now he has two trucks and he's a small fleet owner. And he told us that we changed his life. We allow him to be more efficient and haul more loads according to his own preferences. And he can go home for dinner with his wife and a kid. So it's really this that kept the company going and keep our team motivated. And we're one of the first players to build a marketplace app to deliver a simpler, easier way for drivers to book loads. And today we have over 200 employees and we just moved to a brand new office in El Segundo, we call Silicon Beach. And we're growing 100% year over year.
Wow. So in that first year, how many employees are you at now versus when you first started out?
We had two when we started out, yeah. Me and my co-founder, and now we have over 200.
Wow. Do you sometimes take that in? I'm always curious about founders who have been that successful. When you walk through the door in the morning, you're like, wow, I really built this huge company.
Yeah, it's funny that because one of my board member is Omar Hamoy, and he had AtMob before, and he's a founder of AtMob. And he told me the other day, he's like, Lydia, it's the same feeling that I had before. You know, once we have moved into a brand new office with hundreds of employees, I walked in the office some days and I was like, wow, I built this. So the other day I walked into my office, I was like, that's pretty cool that we really built something significant. And, you know, when we are old, we'll be proud of this.
Yeah. I mean, does it give you some empathy with, you know, the owner operators of America? Because, I mean, that's such a fractured business, right? I mean, the great thing is that anybody can go out, get a CDL, get a truck and become a truck driver. But it also creates a market where there's like 200,000 for hire drivers. Does that help with this whole load matching idea and the concept behind it?
Yeah, I think one important thing is, so our company goal is really to build the largest virtual fleet by empowering truck drivers. And we call ourselves the first trucker-centric marketplace. And we built a lot of solutions surrounding the small trucking companies' needs. Because for small trucking companies, they cannot afford, you know, traditional SaaS programs that require them to pay between $1,000 to $5,000 a month, because most of trucking companies are trucking companies with less than 10 trucks. And most of them are, you know, family owned, brothers or father and son or family business. So we wanted to really build something to empower them. So we focus on, you know, preferred load matching. We think it's critical to our success. We wanted to focus on drivers' lives. So we learn the driver's behavior. We understand their preferences. We give them the loads that they want so they can haul the loads that they want at the time they want to haul the loads. So they can go home for dinner. They can make $1,000 a day. So that's the focus of the company, is really how we can use technology to empower human beings.
Yeah, helping them scale and helping them do things faster. I mean, it's a volatile business with really razor thin margins. It's a great place to start out, and you can become that owner operator, but it's very easy to wash out also because, you know, insurance costs can go up, diesel can go up. You can have a year like now where you have a lull for a few months and then, you know, then you're out of business and you're a story on Freightways, unfortunately. It's great to see you guys getting behind these companies though and helping them, but how have their demands of shippers and carriers evolved over the past half decade? Do you see them aligning with the growth that you guys are doing? Are they getting the appetite for technology? Is that growing?
Well, I think first is our industry is short of truck drivers. Like, truck shortage is number one problem of the industry. And the second is 40% of the capacity is wasted. So you see the imbalance there. So next is first trucker-centric marketplace. And we wanted to build a large fleet by aggregating capacities from owner-operators and small fleets, which represent 90% of the industry. And we're building technology to empower them so they can haul the loads that they want at the time that they want. So they become more efficient, they make more money. And it was different from 5 years ago or even 10 years ago. But, you know, as I said, with the growth of the e-commerce, people are putting more effort into logistics. And then because a lot of people know the true cost of merchandise and the vendor's margin got pressed dramatically. So this led to more people paying attention and learning that logistics is a huge industry that is extremely broken. And more people are coming forward with the solutions to fix it.
Are you seeing the Amazon effect really sort of speed up the pace of things?
I have to agree with that.
Yeah. You know, what I find interesting, again, looking to your background, is that it's in mobile marketing. And Next Trucking is a platform that's built on mobile communication. Has that been, I mean, it seems natural, but like, has that been vital to Next Trucking's success?
I think it definitely helps because we're the first one that built the mobile app to empower the truck drivers. And we really allowed us to build softwares to make drivers more efficient, and that allows drivers to really have an streamlined experience from the moment they pick up a load, when they conduct a load, they upload a POD, they submit an invoice, they get paid. Everything is conducted on a mobile app. So it's definitely a solution that revolutionized the industry versus in the past, they called broker, negotiating back and forth for a load, and then they conduct a load and the broker will call them all the time asking them where they are, and then they need to go to a truck stop to fax that piece of paper with, driver's signature and a warehouse signature on it, proving that the load is delivered. We call it POD. Then they will need to wait for a couple of weeks or sometimes even month for them to get paid. So with a mobile app, really put the whole experience on one solution. So give them a much better experience and to eliminate back and forth negotiations.
Yeah, I mean, and someone on the move obviously needs something that can go along with them. You know, you're not going to bring an entire desktop in the side of your truck. You guys have done really well with venture capital. Freightech has grown at an accelerated rate during your time as CEO. It was only $300 million in VC in 2014 to $3.5 billion in 2018. You guys have raised over $124 million yourselves. How have you managed to be on the front line in a leading company in this digital revolution and attracted those sort of investments?
To be honest, raising money was a challenge, especially in the early days, because I'm not the right package for a lot of investors because I didn't graduate from Stanford. I didn't work at Google or Facebook, even though I did have experience building mobile apps and I have digital marketing experience. I was not the right package for a lot of investors. But I think my persistence and resilience actually paid off eventually. And we're very proud and grateful to our lead investors, including Sequoia Capital and Brookfield Ventures, who brought us, you know, a lot of talents from both tech and also industries, and also gave us resources to be successful in especially drayage.
You know, you're echoing something that our own CEO here at Freightways, Craig Fuller, has said before, that one of the hardest parts about going out for venture capital is that a lot of these investors, they don't really understand our shadow space, you know, the shadow space of trucking in this industry. And that's something that you have to overcome and you have to educate people on. That's one of the reasons that we started this media side over here. How did you find yourself overcoming some of those objections, though, when you were going out pitching next?
Well, if I look at my mobile app, like my demo app, I did over 600 demos in the past 4 years. Not only to investors, but to shippers and carriers. It's a process of education. But imagine, like 10 years ago, nobody would even look at logistics. Like, investors were not interested in logistics because it's not a sexy industry to a lot of people. But now, you know, people realize that it's a $1 trillion industry that was overlooked, and there was a tremendous amount of inefficiency in the industry. So now, you know, all of a sudden it became really, really important. And obviously it was an education process because we are one of the first company that focused on automating trucking. So for a lot of investors, it's brand new. They learned a lot of things from internet, but it's really a lot of knowledge come from our pitches. So at the very beginning, I remember first year when I was pitching investors, I had to do like trucking 101. You know, trucking has 5 sectors, you know, full truckload, LTL, drayage, intermodal, small parcel. How big is every single sector and how complex they are? Like, people didn't really have a lot of knowledge. But with the growth of the companies and companies like us, I think VCs or venture capitals or even like general investors got more interested in the knowledge of the industry. And as you just talk about, you know, that there's a lot of more money that I got into logistics in the past years. And we believe there were more interest coming along with the growth of the new entrants. But I think this is definitely a great trend because this industry is ripe for disruption and it's screaming for help. So we're doing the right thing at the right time.
You know, 2018 was a record-setting year for trucking. 2019's been a little bit different. So how important is preferred load matching in a year that in some ways has been a down market, at least compared to 2018?
Well, I think preferred load matching is absolutely critical. We launched the predictive load offering capabilities a couple of years ago. We study drivers' behavior. We understand their preferences because they're human beings, right? They have their own preferences in terms of destinations. Some of the drivers prefer to go on the long haul. Some of the drivers would rather stay local. Some of the drivers wanted to go home for dinner. We have some, I have a driver whose name is Wendy, and she's a single mom, and she wanted to go home at 5 p.m. every day so she can cook for his son and spend more time with his son. So everybody has their own preferences. So we wanted to really build a dynamic marketplace to allow drivers to have the loads that they want while eliminating bobtailing time. So they can make more money. They don't have wasted hours and they don't run wasted miles. So there's no capacity that is wasted in the industry. That's our ultimate goal as a marketplace. So the ability of our product to match drivers with the loads that they want to haul is critical. And we wanted to make it as simple, as easy to be a driver as possible.
How has this year been for growth on your end?
For Next, we have maintained 100% year-over-year growth for the past 4 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. And in January, we raised $97 million from Brookfield Sequoia GLP. And also, we have the Relay program, which is a combination of drayage drivers and over-the-road drivers for drayage solution. And our shippers in Relay program have seen 167% increase in containers pulled with end-to-end visibilities. And the drivers in this pilot have seen 20 to 50% increase in income. So, and the sum of drivers can make up to $1,000 a day.
Data, it's been called the new gold. We have our own SaaS program, Sonar, which helps bring transparency to the industry. What data sources does Next Trucking use to power its platform learning?
We're getting better and better with data every day. This includes building out our full data science team, and also data sources we use include both primary and secondary sources, including statistics from our app, interaction with our team, our customers, shippers and carriers, and NPS scores for our users, and secondary sources such as the data from the industry and the analyst reports.
You know, with such a fractured market, we mentioned it, there's 1.5 million drivers, 200,000 for hire truckers, owner operators, and warehouses spread throughout the U.S. with limited interconnectivity. So it would stand to reason that data aggregation is really the next great frontier for these efficiencies. So how does Next Trucking bring and bridge that diverse array of sources? Because you must have a lot coming at you as well.
For sure. So Next Trucking is on the forefront of promoting this idea of data sharing. We call it a new norm. Especially in port drayage, it involves so many players, including steamship lines, chassis providers, terminals, yard managers, and everybody is working silo right now. And a lot of players believe that sharing data is dangerous and that the data will be used against them. So we are on the forefront of promoting data sharing. We announced the formation of a Freight Tech Alliance, an organization that promotes open source standards to create true data sharing throughout the shipping ecosystem. We're still early in this effort, but we're anticipating to have a lot more to share in the coming weeks. But we have participants from BCOs, shippers, steamship lines, terminals, and a number of analysts in this effort already. And also, we established a partnership with Bristlecone, which enabled us to integrate with more than 26 EDI solutions. So there's a lot more to come. But I think ultimately, we really need partner like FreightWaves to really help us promote this data sharing in the industry, because we wanted to let people know, like, it's going to eventually benefit everyone in the industry.
Yeah, you know, when I was on the 4PL doing RFPs for companies, one thing that would always kind of drive me nuts was that the companies that did share the data, a lot of times the data would just be wrong. I mean, there would be just standard missing things like carton counts, dimensions. It can make it really tough.
You're right. So data accuracy is super important. And I think we want people to respect the data, sharing data, and also eventually benefit from the data.
You know, you launched a new product this year. It was Relay, right? It's a product that deals with drayage. How has the response been to Relay?
It's absolutely amazing. We're the first one that launched this concept of Relay, which is a combination of drayage drivers and also over-the-road drivers. Also, we secured another 20-acre yard in Long Beach earlier this year to really empower our Relay program. So with Relay, we can really double the efficiencies of our drayage drivers, and 100% of our drayage carriers are making dual transactions, which means that they go inside and outside of the terminal with a container. Because right now, especially during the peak season, only 20 to 40% of the carriers are making dual transactions because not necessarily they will go back to the terminal with an empty container. So we wanted to make sure that our drivers are efficient and making dual transactions. Then terminals will become more efficient, less congestions. Then shipping companies can move faster. We'll have more ships coming into the terminals and a higher throughput. So it's a win-win situation for everyone.
Oh, well, that's good to hear. And it's a great space to enter in. So I wish you guys all the success in the world there. You know, a big topic if you turn on the TV, you can't miss it is climate change. It's been a huge area of interest and concern, especially for shippers who are looking to present themselves as seeking greener solutions. How can tech like yours help eliminate waste in the supply chain?
I think next is helping trucking companies to become more efficient and sustainable. And right now, 40% of capacity is wasted by trucking companies or truck drivers hauling nothing, right? So with digital freight brokers, technologies that better allow drivers to better organize their routes, become more efficient in the hauling really true merchandises instead of empty trailers. So we allow drivers to become more efficient. So that allows us to really provide a greener solutions to the trucking community. Additionally, Next is probably the only tech company that's running the hybrid mode. So other than our virtual fleet, we also have our own assets. So we're committed to building a fleet comprised of zero emission vehicles in the next 5 years.
Oh, wow. Wow. And you think that's attainable and sustainable?
Yes.
Fantastic. And, you know, Amazon just came out with a similar initiative with their supply chain. It seems that sooner or later, most shippers are going to have to get there. So it's great to see that you're ahead of the curve so you can present that solution to the companies that can't present it for themselves.
Yep.
You know, once a marketer, always a marketer, right? So where do you see the future headed for supply chain marketing? And how do you reach people and cut through the noise to spread your brand awareness?
Well, with so many drivers on the road, I think providing the best experience to the drivers is the most powerful marketing tool that we have at our disposal. If you're able to consistently provide a highest level of service to the drivers and allowing them to make more money and coming home for dinner, and we really allow them to be more loyal to our network. So the brand is tied closely to being trucker-centric. So our approach is really to evolve around delivering the best experience to the drivers.
So using that voice and speaking that language and understanding the vernacular and having some empathy for their situation.
You're right. And word of mouth is the best marketing.
Speaking of word of mouth, you are a 2019 Influential Women in Trucking Award finalist. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Looking back on this journey, though, At this point in time, how does an accomplishment like that make you feel? And how do you hope to inspire other women who are trying to break into our industry?
Well, I'm very excited to be the finalist in the Influential Women Trucking Award. And obviously, we worked very hard to earn our seat at the table. I'm very proud and quite grateful to everyone who helped me along the way. So my advice to other women in the industry or who try to get into the industry is not to be discouraged when you don't resonate with everyone in the room. Like, you know, I'm 5'2" Asian woman. I'm normally regarded as an intern if I walk into a deal desk, right? So as a woman of industry, we feel like nowadays more and more organizations are recognizing the importance of women's voices. And we can bring unique thoughtful perspective to discussions. And I think be confident in the value you carry and use it as a fuel to push harder and make yourself heard when people are not listening. So to me, I use a lot of data to overcome bias. So not only has this strategy earned me more respect in conference room, but it also has forced me to be more informed, a decision maker and a creative strategist.
Does that misperception of you kind of drive you? Like when you're going into a pitch meeting, you're like, I am going to change your perception by the time I leave this room.
Yeah, I think it actually forced me to become stronger and more confident because you want the voice to be heard. And it's important that we arm ourselves with data and facts so people won't ignore us.
Yeah, and you get them to listen, right? You can be the tiniest body in the room, but if you have the right facts and the right presentation, you can have the loudest voice.
You're right.
Are there any facts or anything interesting that might surprise us about Next Trucking that maybe people should know about or just of interest?
Well, I think the founding team is a big fan of Marvel superheroes.
Oh, wow.
So if you come to our office, you will see all the conference rooms are named after superhero. So for a lot of new employees, we actually play Marvel movies at night sometimes just to familiarize our team with the Marvel heroes. And we are also a dog-friendly office. So, you know, if you come in, don't be alert that you see some furry hair friends wandering around in our office. Those are probably some fun facts about Next Trucking.
Wait, is the Marvel influence, does that come from your side or is that from like your data team?
It's really from me and my co-founder. Like, I'm a big fan of Marvel, and my co-founder, who's my husband, he's a huge Iron Man fan. And, you know, in my house, I have a wall of Iron Man figurines and a lot of collectibles. So everybody knows Elton's a big fan of Iron Man. So right now, if you walk around our office, we just have so many superheroes hanging around. And, you know, we have like figurines and toys. We have signs. And then we name our conference room after a lot of superheroes' name. Yeah. And our big conference room is Stan Lee.
Oh, wow.
So it's super interesting. And I think it's a very interesting company culture that we built. And also, you know, we feel like everyone is superhero at Next Trucking.
Which superhero are you at Next Trucking?
I like all the superheroes because I feel like they are with different skill sets. And they also have a one goal is really to make the world a peaceful place. So I think it's very similar to our mission. Like, we have one mission. Like, we have different skill sets and different personalities. We have different talents under the same roof. We have talents from the trucking industries, talents from the tech world. And we're a very different bunch of people coming together for one mission, is really to empower the truck drivers and make the freight painless.
It's time for some contact info. How do listeners reach out to your team of trucking Avengers?
NextTrucking.com. And if you're interested in working in Next Trucking, you can also go to NextTrucking.com/career. And welcome to join a bunch of heroes.
Wow. I think you might attract some people that pitch. Marvel is pretty popular. Lydia, thank you so much for joining us today on FreightWaves Insiders and letting us step inside your world and inside your, I guess now it's a secret lair that is not so secret anymore.
Right. Thank you so much for having me.
You can find this show at freightwaves.com/podcast or subscribe to it on your favorite podcast player of choice. You can reach out to me on Twitter at Timothy Tooner. That's TOONER. Or look me up on LinkedIn. Thanks again for joining us this week on Freight Waves.